Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, whether you're listening on a local Minnesota station across the country on our national broadcast or on your favorite podcast platform. We're glad that you are with us today. We're out here today on location at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center for the big ribbon-cutting ceremony for the women's clinic. So excited to finally be here, something we've been talking about for a couple of years on the program, and going to have a couple of guests throughout today to talk to us a little bit about the project and what this new clinic means. And so joining me here in this first segment, I have Dr. Krebs. Dr. Krebs is the Acting Women's Health Medical Director for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, primary care physician, and as I said, is the Acting Medical Director, also Chief of General Internal Medicine. Boy, that's a whole mouthful there, Doctor. Welcome to the show.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it is good to have you here on the show. Nice, beautiful day out here at the Minneapolis VA, and obviously here for a great reason, and that is to have this ribbon cutting ceremony. And you know, we only get about maybe another 9 minutes or so together, and so I just really want to get into it and hear a little bit about this Women's Veterans Clinic and you know, really who it's for and what we're going to do with this. Why do we need this?
Well, wow, do we need this? It has been a long time coming, you know. So we've had a growing population of women veterans that we are seeing here at the Minneapolis VA. Since I started here, maybe 25 years ago, we have well more than doubled the number of women that we're seeing, probably tripled. And it's a diverse population of women that we see here. And, you know, they deserve this beautiful new facility that we've built here today.
Well, it is a beautiful new facility, a nice backdrop as we're sitting here out on the lawn. And, you know, again, we'll have the ribbon cutting in just a little bit. But why do you think it was important that this be a separate building?
Well, I think one thing that we've heard from our women veterans community is how they would love to be able to just walk into their own space that is dedicated to the needs of women veterans. As you know, the military, and of course, as a result, the VA, are male-dominated in terms of numbers. Men outnumber women dramatically at the Minneapolis VA. Although the number of women is increasing, our patient population is still numerically majority male. And walking into that big atrium sometimes, it can feel like maybe this place doesn't see you, doesn't recognize you. That's how it feels to some people. It will never feel that way in this clinic.
Yeah, well,
veterans
yeah.
will walk into this door and know that we see women veterans.
And I can just say that sometimes it's intimidating for a male walking in because this is a huge facility.
It is huge.
But the great thing is, of course, now you have its own separate entrance. So our women veterans come. We've got plenty of parking right out in front. Walk right in and be seen and not have to necessarily go through the big maze of the other facility.
Absolutely. I will say, of course, that women veterans are recognized and welcome and wanted in this entire facility. But, of course, this particular clinic is focused on their needs.
Yeah, and obviously for, you know, today's show, we want to celebrate the ribbon cutting. But we also want to try to maybe reach some of those women veterans who maybe have been holding off because of some of those concerns, right, about coming to this facility in this male-dominated area. But now they know, hey, come, check us out, and make a decision from there.
Absolutely. So I would encourage anyone to check us out.
Let's talk a little bit about the building, because we know, and we're going to talk to Justin Berry in the next segment, who is the engineer tech. But, you know, this has been in the works for a long time. And when you think about that, you've been here for 25 years. It's probably been talked about for a lot of years. It's finally here. But talk to us about that level of commitment that you see to our veterans, specifically our women veterans, as it relates to getting this thing finally done.
Well, you know, it takes commitment when something goes on for that long. And we've had to change the plans many times. That's part of why it took so long. At one point, there was a plan to do it at a different place in this on this campus. That changed, and I think that was a change for the good, but then it was almost a back to the drawing board. Our executive team has been really committed to making this happen, so although we had to start over at a few points, roll with a variety of punches, everyone has been incredibly creative and resilient in getting to where we are, and I think the planning team, we held tight to what was most important and where we could not make compromises, and we really did achieve the clinic that we were aiming for from the very beginning.
Yeah, and I'll hopefully be talking to Director Kelly a little bit later on in the show, and I'm going to guess that he's got a sigh of relief today as this ribbon is being cut and doors are finally being opened. Let's talk about the clinic in what it will do for our female veterans, our women veterans, as far as the services. When a woman or a female veteran comes to this clinic, what will they be able to actually do here? What services can you provide here?
Sure. Well, first of all, we provide primary care here. So women veterans can choose to get their primary care at this women's clinic. They can choose to get their primary care in a general primary care clinic elsewhere in the hospital or at one of our community-based outpatient clinics. If they choose to come here, we have multiple primary care providers and teams ready to serve in a clinic that was really built for primary care. So I think they'll find a much more efficient clinic flow. Pleasant, sunny rooms. It's just so lovely. We also have specialty service, so gynecology right here on site. In the past, we've struggled with having enough rooms to run both primary care and gynecology clinics at the same time. Now I think we're going to be able to really accommodate all of that. And then we have a variety of specialists who have been here, some of our physical or occupational therapists, our mental health therapists who have been seeing patients. Maybe they've had a women's health focus, but they've not been able to be co-located with us in the same clinic area because of space. Now they're all going to be right here in the same area right down the hall. So it's going to be fantastic.
Other than having this dedicated place, is there something through this process or the result, because you mentioned design changes, maybe some of the services that you thought you could provide, now you can't, or that you didn't initially plan on, but now you can. What are some of those highlights that you can think of through this process where you're like, yeah, you know, this was an absolute, and I'm really glad we're able to accomplish this or that?
Well, I think one thing that we struggled with adding and subtracting over time was imaging services. People who take the tour will see that we do have mammography services in the clinic, and I think that's going to be great to be able to get your mammogram right there, just a couple steps from where you had your primary care appointment, as opposed to going down in the basement, going all the way across the building. That was tough, I think, to figure out, but we did achieve it.
Now, I'm wondering if during this tour that we're going to go on later on, you're actually going to keep all the males out so they don't get jealous of what this new facility looks like.
It is possible. Yes,
yeah.
It is possible. But one actually great thing about working at the Minneapolis VA is we are always a construction site. Something is always being remodeled. It is continuous remodeling. So.
Yeah, no, that's good. And let's talk about who's going to provide this service, right? So obviously it is the women's clinic. Will we still have male providers inside too, or is this going to be a 100% female staff, or what's the plan for that?
We do have, you know, this is not a women's only space. You know, we're not barring anyone. Of course, it is a women-focused environment.
Yeah.
We do have valued members of our team who are male. And, you know, we welcome gender diversity, of course. But again, the focus really being on women veterans' needs.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. All right, as we are getting ready to wrap up here, I just want to give you an opportunity. Any final thoughts or anything that you hope for in the future as it relates to this clinic?
You know, I would really just say to those veterans who've been maybe thinking about coming to Minneapolis VA or checked us out before but haven't been here in a while, just please come on by, see what we have to offer. Check out the new clinic. We would really love to see you here, and this clinic is for everyone.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see it when we get to do the tour here after the actual ribbon cutting. Dr. Aaron Krebs, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us here on Minnesota Military Radio. You know, look forward to, again, seeing this, and proud of what you all have accomplished here to help take care of our women veterans.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was Dr. Aaron Krebs, the primary care physician and the acting women's health medical director for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Please stay with us. We're going to come back and talk to Justin Berry, who's the engineer tech. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We are out here on location at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center here for the special ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new Women's Veterans Clinic. And had a nice conversation with Dr. Aaron Krebs in the last segment. And as I had mentioned, we're going to bring in Justin Berry. He's an engineer tech project lead for the Women's Clinic Construction. And Justin's a 20-year military veteran. 6 years of active duty, you've got three deployments under your belt, and you're still serving in our 934th Airlift Wing here right on the Fort Snelling campus. So thank you for your service, and Justin, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
All right. It's great to have you here. And, you know, obviously you heard Dr. Krebs, a lot of excitement about this clinic and it finally getting done through the delays, through the project changes. And you're probably better to know out of anybody of what those changes have looked like because you've been pretty involved. So let's talk a little bit about this timeline. Tell us about the construction timeline. When did this whole thing start? When did we actually break ground? If you know specific dates, that's awesome. But give us that history.
Well, like the shovel shows over there, we broke ground September 13th, 2024. And since then, it's just been an ongoing process every step of the way.
All right, so you've got this ongoing process, you said, every step of the way. I mean, as the project lead, does that mean that you were out here like every single day just making sure the stuff was getting done the way it was supposed to be getting done? Are you out here with blueprints and just watching and inspecting?
Absolutely. Yep. Just out here with prints, making sure things are building, are getting built according to design specs, making sure that all the specifications are being followed. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Justin, as you're going through this process, was there anything that you can share with us that maybe kind of caused some initial issues, things that you really had to spend a lot of time working through? Maybe it wasn't an initial design, but it was a change in design. You know, what kind of insight can you give us from that process?
There were a few design changes throughout the process that, for one reason or another, gave us a little bit of trouble. One thing in particular that came up when we were putting up the precast walls is, I don't know if it was in your notes or not, but eventually the plan is to put a second level across the entire top. So we had to make sure that everything was designed properly to allow that to happen.
So structural design might have been important so that you could hold additional weight. And is that something that is like around to it thing, or is there actually already a plan to start building that out at some time here in the near future?
There is not a hard set plan, but that is the design intent to be able to put a second floor on at some point. And yes, we had a change order at one point to make sure we had all the proper connections at the top of the facility to allow that to happen in the future.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing we know about the Minneapolis VA, and Dr. Krebs alluded to it, is there's always a project going on, so you have to set yourself up for that next project, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, right now, based on the quick count I did, we have 70 projects in some stage of either planning or process. The main reason we have that many projects going on at any given time is, one, there's always emergencies. Stuff always comes up that needs to be fixed quickly. But also, this facility is over 40 years old, so we have to continuously maintain it. We're always trying to include improvements, new technologies, renovated spaces, so that our veteran patients always have a nice place to go to and get their care.
For those that don't know, obviously, you know, it's a great looking building. We've got a nice backdrop, as I'd mentioned before, all of the flags. But was this a complete new build or was this a remodel?
This is a complete new build.
Yep. So a complete new build. So as you were doing that from initial design phases, were there any or was there anything that you had to really make special consideration for knowing the population of veteran that you wanted to serve?
Yes, just making sure there was enough space primarily. A lot of that happened in the design phase. There's over 13,000 square foot of patient care in the facility, making sure we had enough exam rooms, enough procedure rooms. There's 11 exam rooms, 4 procedure rooms. As Dr. Krebs stated, we're going to have mammography, ultrasound, gynecology, urology, mental health. And then making sure they had all the space they needed.
And was part of your responsibility to, help facilitate some of those design needs by bringing in some of these other experts? Or did you get handed the blueprint and said, this is what's being built, you need to go and make it happen?
No, absolutely not. This is a huge team effort for a lot of different people involved. I am by no means a subject matter expert on everything that needed to happen in the facility. So we had our wonderful VA team, Nathan Estrom, Emma Rose O'Brien, Kim Pelteri, many, many others who stepped in and covered certain aspects of the project that I was not an expert in by any means. And then we had also our wonderful design team from Anderson Engineering, Jesse Ulan, Mark Cameron, Claire Zupan, again, many others. And then also we had our wonderful construction team, which was Greenstone, and they made sure that it happened according to the specifications and actually got the facility present in front of us. Those people were Remington Hagen, Jed Bergstrom, and Aaron Gullings.
So remind us again, when was the shovel in the ground date?
That was the 13th of September, 2024.
All right. So, I mean, that's pretty good, I think. I don't know. I mean, is less than 2 years? I mean, obviously design took a lot before that. But, you know, from shovel in the ground to be able to walk in and have a workable, usable facility, is that pretty good timeline?
That's a pretty good pace, absolutely. Yeah, they were out here every day getting stuff done. As soon as we had the concrete floor poured and the walls put up, the entire facility was flooded with different contractors all the time working on it nonstop. So they moved at a good pace.
Now I'm going to ask this question of the director as well, but, as the project lead for this specific project, you know, you said you had 70 other projects going on. Are you feeling a pretty good sigh of relief now that the ribbon is going to be cut and it's usable? But it doesn't mean you get to forget about it, does it?
Absolutely not. No, it's a bittersweet feeling. It's nice to see it done. But at the same time, it's not going to be hands off. If there's anything that comes up while I'm here at the VA, I'm sure they're going to come to me because I have the experience on the project. So,
yeah. So what's the next big project that is on your list?
To be determined.
Okay.
There's lots of things that are potentially the next big one.
Okay. So what is going to receive your focus now, though? There's something going on.
Absolutely.
I put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did put me on my spot.
Yeah, that's okay.
One big thing that I can think of right off the top of my head is replacing outdated equipment. We have a few fuel storage tanks and stuff like that that need to be replaced. That's going to be a large project. And then we also have, we have a lot of stuff going on.
Now, today you're dressed up. You've got a nice shirt and tie on. You're wearing a vest. You look very dapper. Is this your normal appearance, or was this just for a special show today?
No, this is a special show today.
Doesn't he look pretty good, everybody? Yeah, see, they're clapping for you out there. Yeah, see, there you go. That's nice. But you don't want this as your normal uniform, unless maybe you had like a reflective vest on, I suppose.
No, it definitely wouldn't do well when I have to be in the construction area. And also, we have some mechanical spaces within the facility that I have to go into sometimes that this outfit would not fare well in.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you mentioned the 70 projects. You mentioned what you're moving on to next. There's always something going on. But just tell us about that thought process, right? I mean, we know you can't just do one project, complete, move on to the next one. You got to have a lot of things going on. But what does that mean to this campus and how we continue to serve our veterans to have something really always in the hopper but always being worked as well?
Well, absolutely. There's always improvements to be made. There's always equipment that's getting outdated or breaking. So there's always something that needs to be improved to better serve our veteran patients, make sure they have a space they can go to that is working properly and is nice for them to go to so they enjoy their time here, not just get the basic level of care that they need.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot one more time. You worked on some other projects in the past to include the Northwest Light Rail and the North Star Ride out at the Valley Fair in Shakopee.
Yep.
Was this a much better project to be working on, or...?
I've always gone to the Valley Fair as a kid, so it's kind of fun to drive onto the campus and actually be doing work out there. So on a pure fun level, that was a little bit better. It's also shorter lived. But being in on this project from groundbreaking all the way through is an amazing experience. Having my attention put on every detail of it is hugely fulfilling.
Was one of the perks out at Valley Fair the unlimited access and entry all the time for the rest of your life?
No, I did not get that, unfortunately.
Well, next time, write that into the contract, okay? All right. Hey, Justin Barry, thanks so much for joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio. Great to have you. Thanks for the great work you're doing here, and thanks for your service and the way you continue to serve our veterans here at the Minneapolis VA.
Thank you for time.
All right, you bet. That's Justin Barry, Engineer Tech, and the project lead for the Women's Clinic construction site out here at the Minneapolis VA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We are out here on location at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. We're out here for the ribbon cutting ceremony for the new women's clinic. Had a couple of great interviews. We took a small break to watch the ribbon cutting ceremony, and I was able to corral the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system to sit down with us for a few minutes and talk a little bit about this ceremony and really the significance of the day. So Director Pat Kelly, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Really, really pleased to be here.
Well, I told you when we talked just a few weeks ago, when we were talking very briefly, you're introducing a fantastic guest, Jana Nornberg. And I told you I'm going to try to corral you up and talk to you at the ribbon cutting so I can get some impressions from you. So I have succeeded in that mission. And here we are. We've got a beautiful day, a little bit windy, but boy, you had a great turnout, Director.
You know, when I woke up this morning, there were sprinkles on my car. A little worried. Turned out to be a beautiful day. Yeah. Couldn't have been better. That breeze was really helpful.
I think that the chaplain you had to do that invocation, man, she brought it, and I'm sure she had something to do with that medical or the weather report here.
She's a wonderful chaplain. Did you see her shoes? She had some really nice shoes.
I didn't. You pointed it out during the ceremony, but I did not get to see her shoes. I'm going to have to seek her out and see if we can send her out.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll
for sure.
Out.
Yeah. And then I didn't know that we'd also be graced with a contestant from American Idol to perform the national anthem today, too. So that was fantastic.
You know, it was commented that she should have won American Idol.
I heard
she
that.
Was terrific, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was,
I thought
was
it was great. Yeah, it was really good. Very moving. And, you know, I love it. You can tell when people really put their soul into it. And she certainly did that. So, you know, Director, obviously a great day. We even had some representatives from our, you know, the legislative side of things. I mean, a great turnout and I think a lot of support.
Oh, most impressive to me was the number of women veterans who get their health care with us and have for many, many years advocated for this building for all of those years. And for them to be here and see this come to fruition with them here and their advocacy and support. Really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of neat. Dr. Krebs gave a little bit of the history about how, you know, it was our women veterans that said, hey, you know what, this space you got us kind of crammed into isn't really good for us. You need to do something about it. And they never gave up on it, Director.
Yeah. So we did a couple different things, Doug. One, we were able to get women's dedicated space, standalone building, beautiful building. Couldn't be more pleased. We also vacated some space in the medical center that we're going to be able to use to convert some of our multi-bed rooms into single bedrooms. So two for the price of one. This is the we have a second brand new building. We opened another one we're looking at here across the way, opened 2 years ago. This opened today, so we've been fortunate. We've had some good projects. But I'm really proud of this women's health project.
Yeah, and is that the specialty clinic that you're pointing at there?
That's the one right next to it.
Yeah, so you know, as you come in this campus, you know, when we were talking to Melanie a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, tell me again exactly where it went, you know, and she said, well, come in and just go to the left. You're going to find the building there. But this wasn't the original site of the building. There were other plans. Maybe it was going to be behind the main building. Maybe it was going to be somewhere else on the campus. But I think it looks perfect right here.
Well, the nice thing about this location, it's a standalone building with a drive-up. Women can get out of their cars, come directly into the building. But it's also connected to the medical center. So if they need to go into the medical center, which they will for tests, for some other things, they're connected. If it's winter, you don't want to have to travel outside,
right,
go back into the main entrance. So that was the big advantage for having it next to, not part of, but just at least an opportunity to get from the women's clinic into the medical center.
Yeah.
Without going outdoors.
I do think it's important you brought this point up, is that there's going to be great services provided. Dr. Krebs talked a little bit about it as well. But it's not A to Z, but almost, because there will still be a need to go into the main facility.
Yeah, so we will have most, what I would think of as primary care, mental health services, yeah. Diagnostic work, imaging, blood draw, those kinds of things. Women will still need to see their surgeon occasionally. They may need to see orthopedics, other specialty medicine and surgery clinics. We will coordinate that, of course, facilitate that. And if women veterans need to get some care in the community, we will coordinate that too. So yeah, it's not everything, but it's a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, if Tom Lyons were here, he would probably give you a hard time about not having a hard hat on, being in a suit today. But, you know, even Justin, it said that, you know what, we're going to constantly be working and improving this facility. And I think that's really an important thing, Director. I mean, great, obviously, to complete this, but it's not the end, is it?
No, we have a number of projects in the queue. And as you experienced from this project, Doug, this started 10 years ago. So to bring a project to fruition, it doesn't happen overnight in the government.
No.
So
yeah. 10 but years,
it happened.
But 2 years to build, or just under 2 years,
right.
On time, you said.
Yes, yeah, on time, on budget. We had some good contract support. Yeah. Our project manager was terrific. You interviewed him. Our architect, solid. Construction workers, solid. Really good partnership to get this to open on time. On budget.
I think our audience would be happy to hear that, that it was on budget, right? Because a lot of projects just don't end up like that. It's one thing or another, but you guys were, you know, you were on top of it. Obviously, Justin is the project lead on this, had to maintain, you know, constant contact, talk through any issues that might come up. What I didn't know, Director, was the planning for the future for this site, starting where you are right now with the single-level building, but knowing there's room for expansion potentially down the road if that's what you decide to do.
We have plans, unfunded now, but to build a cancer center on top of our current specialty medicine building and to expand this building. So the buildings were constructed to facilitate building them up. And so don't have to expand the footprint. We just go up. Supports that.
Yeah.
Again, not funded projects yet, but it creates the opportunity for us when funding becomes available to do that next thing.
Right. Well, yeah. You know what? As this show continues to promote the women's clinic that is now opened here, as word travels, as our women veterans receive services here, my guess is that you're going to be to capacity, and there will be a need to make sure that we get that funding so that we can build out and continue to serve our growing population of women veterans.
That would be a good thing. We would like to see that. And again, as I mentioned in my remarks, this is intended to be a highly visible opportunity for women veterans to see, you know, the VA is committed to women veterans. We're going to provide the experience, the resources, the clinical staff and teams that are familiar with women veterans' health issues. And I'm hoping by word of mouth and by other means, more and more women veterans.
Yeah.
We'll get their care here. It's a large number, but it's a low percentage of women veterans who get their health care through the VA. I think that'll grow.
Yeah.
I think this will help.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Now, Director, one of the things that I haven't talked about with our previous guests is, you know, obviously new facility. That means, I'm assuming, that that's positions or opportunities for new staff. And so maybe you can kind of talk to us a little bit about what the status is of our healthcare staff and whether or not you need or you're looking for highly qualified people to come out and be a part of this VA team.
You know, that. Thank you for that opportunity. And we are always looking for new staff. And I would particularly talk about nurses, doctors, support staff. We're growing. We take care of 110,000 veterans. That grows every year. And so the more that we can recruit and retain to work here in the VA, the more care we can provide, the less care we buy in the community. Veterans want to get their health care with us. So if you're a doctor, you're a nurse, if you're a pharmacist, if you're a therapist, great place to work in the VA.
Yeah.
We'd welcome that.
And Director, just about, well, I would say every nurse or doctor that I've interviewed on Minnesota Military Radio, when they talk about working for the VA in general, it's a place that you can get behind the mission. It's a place they love to work. It's a place where they feel that they are needed. Mm-hmm. They love serving this population. And I think that those are great selling points to anybody who's looking for a job that wants to get into this type of a career.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a veteran, I'm a veteran. I love being around veterans. Yeah. I love working with veterans. So a third of our staff are veterans. It's not like being in the military, but it's a lot like being in the military. You work with people who you're accustomed to working with. They're committed, just like our active duty colleagues were, as we came through the Guard and Reserve and active forces. The mission's great. Workforce is terrific. I think people are generally happy working here. We have stuff, issues, just like every other place.
Yeah, of course.
Competitive marketplace, but we... It's a good place to work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, yeah. Director, we're about going to wrap this segment up here, but any final thoughts at all from you?
Well, I want to thank you for being so present and for advocating for veterans, Minnesota veterans, over the years. We're going to have to come up with something new to talk about. We've talked about the Women's Clinic for years, and so we'll find something else. But yeah. It's nice that you've helped us with that.
Yeah, we certainly have, and I appreciate this partnership. I think it's great, and we're going to continue promoting the Minneapolis VA for as long as we're allowed to be on the air, you know, with that continued support of all of our partners, iHeartMedia, and each of our different mm-hmm. producers. So thank you, and thank you, Director, for allowing Melanie to continue to support this show, too, because she's always bringing great content to us and introducing us to great staff. So thank you.
Our staff are thrilled to be part of it. So thanks for having us.
You bet. Director, congratulations on this great accomplishment here. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug.
All right. That is Director Pat Kelly with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Here we are in our final segment today. We are recording on location out here at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Out here for a pretty big deal. It was the ribbon cutting ceremony for the Women's Clinic for our women veterans. Wonderful day. Had a couple of wonderful guests on. And we've saved the best for last is what I've been told. And joining me in this final segment, I've got Jessie Ray Rail. Did I say that right?
Said it perfectly.
Okay, thank you. You're a social worker, hero care advocate over at Regents Hospital, and you're also here at the VA Medical Center as a consumer adversary advisory board. Excuse me, not adversary. although some adversarial type of attitude here, too, but that's okay.
Well, that's natural.
You're on that advisory board. And you also served in our Minnesota National Guard for 10 years, couple of deployments, Bosnia. And as we like to call those in the Minnesota National Guard that experienced this opportunity, the long deployment. So everybody knows what that means. And then also with us is Tony McWilliams, a Army combat veteran, 3 Iraq tours.
Yep.
And you were on active duty, like I said, and you're a peer specialist here at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. So Tony, Jessie Ray, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
All right, this is going to be awesome. We get a short amount of time together, but let's get right into it. Jessie Ray, I want to start with you. You support the VA Medical Center because you're a consumer. You're on that consumer advisory board, but I want to know what you do over at Regents Hospital, really why you're here today and how you support veterans.
Yeah, so Regents Hospital has a program called the Hero Care for Veterans Program, the Lee and Penny Anderson Hero Care for Veterans Program, and Regents is really doing something really incredible where we ask everybody if they served or have a family member who served in the military. If they say yes to that question, then we have a staff of 3 of us who are also veterans, family members of veterans. We are added to their interdisciplinary team for whatever reason they're at the hospital. And we go and say hello and thank you for your service. And are you using benefits? Has anybody ever sat down and even talked to you about what you might be eligible for? What brought you in today? And we make those important connections on a face-to-face basis and not a QR code basis or a phone basis, which is very necessary, but we're really lucky to get to sit down and talk with those patients. And
what a great thing that Regents would be doing. I think it's important to make those connections. And maybe a sub-product of that is you might identify some of our veterans who are using care out in the community that might be eligible to receive care here and they're not even aware.
That's happening on a daily basis.
Yeah.
There are so many people, including those family members, who really need to know the path for them specifically, how they are going to get to those benefits. Not necessarily a broad term, but a personal level of connection.
That's awesome. I want to make sure I get Tony to come in and talk for a little bit. Tony, we've had other guests on the show, and they've talked about this peer specialist opportunity, but I've never actually interviewed or seen one in person. So
well,
here
I'm
you
glad
are.
Glad I could be that person today.
Well, welcome. Tell me, what is a peer specialist?
So a peer specialist is a veteran with lived experience in a multitude of things. So I serve as a beacon of hope for other veterans who are struggling with mental health or substance use. My job is to show them that life is worth living and recovery is possible. We also do a lot of advocacy for veterans. So we know that the VA in itself realized that there was a gap between providers and veterans. So they hired veterans to kind of fill that gap and be a bridge between services. So I show veterans that the VA is a great place to get your care because I get my care here and that recovery is possible.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about the peer specialist thing, as I was saying this just before we started recording, is that it's another way in which our VA, Minneapolis, because we're talking about today, shows the way in which they want to care for our veterans that receive care here. What better way than to have a peer support person specialist right there to walk through those challenging times because you've got that lived experience.
Absolutely.
Too.
I literally walk veterans sometimes that have anxiety or just trouble coming into this big facility. So I'll literally walk them from their car to their appointment. I do a lot of advocacy with them. So if a veteran feels like they're not being heard, me wearing that provider hat as well, working here, I can translate like this is what the veteran is saying and this is what the provider is saying. And it just works out for everyone.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you said that you receive care here. Jesse Ray, you said previously, or I was told you receive care here as yeah. well. But this question is for both you and Tony. I'm going to let you go first. What does it mean to you to be here today to see this ribbon finally getting cut and these doors being opened?
Seeing this clinic getting open, I feel so seen as a woman veteran here. I don't think I've ever been seeing this much ever. Just having this here gives me a sense of comfort and belonging because 90% of the people come through these doors are male.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that we have a place just for women to go and get comfort and support in all the care.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesse Ray, what about you?
Yeah, I think women are amazing people, whether they're veterans or not. And we're really good at wearing a lot of different hats at a lot of different times. And I think having a storefront, if you will, or a door all to our own, lets us know that we can wear whatever hat we need to have on and still get our care at the VA and be recognized as that woman veteran and for the sacrifices that we made that many times go without notice.
Yeah. Now, maybe I shouldn't ask this question. I hope it doesn't get you in trouble or anybody else, but you're at Regents Hospital. And so have they tried to swipe you away from Regents to get you to come out to the Minneapolis VA here or what?
They will now.
I think legally I have to say no comment. But I would say that we all need an advocate, whether it's a peer specialist, whether it's a nurse, whether it's a door that we recognize ourselves as we walk through, or whether it's just making eye contact with another person.
Yeah.
We all have to choose when we're going to be best at being that advocate. And Regents has given me that platform.
You know, and we actually need you at Regents because of that hero care advocacy that you do. We need to make sure that our veterans in other healthcare facilities are being seen, are being taken care of, and connect them potentially to the services that can be provided out here. So you're probably right where you need to be, but you still get to be connected because you're on this consumer advisory board. What is that?
Right. So the VA does a great job with asking folks out in the community who are also working with our veteran population and their families. I think it's important to recognize it's not just the veteran, but those around them. They're doing a great job with connecting to us in the community and bringing us in here to the VA to say, what are the issues that you're seeing? What is working? What isn't working? What ideas do you have? Here's what's actually happening from our internal cell, and that's why you're feeling the ripple effect. So that people like I, who are out in the community, can talk to veterans and explain, as you were saying, and be that in-between person and say, this is why it's happening, and here's the right path to get to what you want.
And Tony, as a peer specialist, do you focus primarily on our women veterans, or is it a open book, whoever needs some
type
of support?
I serve all veterans. Of course, I'm going to navigate more towards women veterans because I am one, but I do serve all veterans. There's no veteran that comes through the door where I'm going to say, I can't serve you. And veterans relate to me more, even though...
Well, you're very nice.
I try, you know. It's always a great day at the VA, and... with the lived experience I have a reason to smile and be kind. I choose kindness and happiness because the VA helps me get to that point, and I help other veterans get to that point with different modalities, including groups and one-on-ones and community events.
Yeah. Now, I always ask the director, or at least I try to ask him about whether or not we're hiring out at the VA. What would you say to somebody who might be considering a job in the healthcare industry or maybe looking at coming to work out here at the Minneapolis VA?
First, I would say that if you would like change, go and be that change, which is one of the reasons why I started working at the VA. I saw things that I didn't quite like, and I wanted to change. So instead of complaining, I got a job here.
So you're a doer.
I am. Yeah. I am. It's like I can't stop serving. But I would say that, you know, do what makes you happy. Right now, I can't speak on if they're hiring or not, but our staff is short.
They're always hiring. I know that. The director would say it. Yeah.
But we would love more veterans to come work here in any capacity to help other veterans feel more comfortable coming in. Love our providers, but it takes a veteran to know a veteran truly and to get services.
All right. I'm going to come back to you. You're going to get like 10 seconds, but real quick, Jesse Ray, final thoughts. Mm. Yeah, you get 5 seconds. Oh, go.
5 seconds. I think those that serve our country are meant to be seen in every place we want to be it the VA, be it the parking lot, be it the grocery store, and I'm really proud to be a part of the whole community.
Awesome. Tony?
I am so grateful for the journey that the VA has taken me on and the fact that we're here and we're able to experience this moment. Lots of gratitude.
You guys are awesome. Tony McWilliams, ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Ray Rawl, appreciate you joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. And thank you all for joining us this week on Minnesota Military Radio. We always welcome your feedback and guest suggestions. Please visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us. You can also catch up on past episodes there and on your favorite podcast platform. Next week, we get all the details about Military Appreciation Day taking place on September 1st out of the Minnesota State Fair. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.
You're not lying. You're not lying. There it is. Nice work, you two.